Good morning. Really excited to look at some aspects of our worship this morning. And we'll be over in Psalms 100, if you want to be turning there. Psalms 100. But I was walking through Walmart the other day. Shocker, right? None of us ever go there. But as I was walking through Walmart, I heard over their speaker a song playing, a familiar song many of us have heard many times. The song would be the song we just heard right now, actually, Joy to the World. But as I was listening to that, I thought, well, would Walmart ever play a song about worshiping the King of the World if it wasn't for Christmas? And I began to think, did they even know what the song even was talking about? Or were they just singing it to sing it? So I wanted to bring us over to Psalms, where we find many different musical writings. We think of Christmas hymns. We think of Christmas carols. We think of whatever it may be. We've been listening to them for close to 2 months now, and you could ask Katie, I've never been a big Christmas song fan, but I have grown more, or a little better with them over time. Particularly some of them that she plays, I try to tune out a little bit, though. But regardless, we've been listening to these Christmas hymns and songs for about 2 months now. And as we've been listening to them, we've got them stuck in our heads, and we've sung them as we've commuted to work or whatever else it may be. And I will tell you, one of the most wonderful things about hymns is that they have a very deep scriptural meaning. In fact, back in the book of Psalms, we would find four different kinds of psalms. We would find laments, thanksgiving psalms, enthronement psalms, and, of course, our most popular hymns. So as Christmas has just passed, the purpose of our Christmas celebration was to remember the coming of the Savior and to praise Him. Praise Him. Isn't that such a wonderful, interesting thought that so many have neglected in this past week? It's sad what we have came to. We talk about Christmas as a lot of things, but often we neglect the most vital part of it, our worship. Now I want to share that one of the purposes of this word today, I pray, will be to transition us not just into from Christmas, but into our new year, and into how we can look at worship in 2022. So I want to challenge us this morning with a challenge that I pray will be persistent from this wonderful new year until next Christmas and beyond. I want to challenge us using this word this morning. If you will, stand with me for the reading of God's word in Psalms 100. Psalms 100 says this, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Let's pray. Father, as we come before You once again in Your most holy name, Father, as we have just celebrated Your birth, Father, that You, a perfect, sinless man, would come to this earth just to redeem us. Father, I'm praying today that You would pierce our hearts and our souls, speak to us mightily through this word. Father, may we leave this place knowing that we are not to be complacent Christians any longer. Father, we have a calling. Father, You desire us. You desire us for Your worship. You want us to sing Your praises, to shout Your name, to live our lives a living sacrifice for You. So, Father, as we go into this word a little deeper this morning, May we do just that. May our lives be a direct image of you in your most holy name. Father, be with us today. Lead us and guide us once again. And we say this in your most kind and gracious heavenly name. Amen. You may be seated. So, in almost all of Scripture, if we read very much, you'll notice a couple things. A lot of times, not always, but a lot of times, we will see these two things. We'll see a desire from the Lord, and we will see an expectation for us to follow that desire. So, there is a reason today that the prosperity gospel that so many preachers unfortunately preach fails to live in the lives of many and fails to be fruitful. And it's because so many have been conditioned to an understanding that they have a promise from the Lord, but nothing is required of them. Meaning they are excited to receive, but they fail miserably in knowing how to give. However, there is something required of us, and I want to look at that in Psalms 100 with my first point of the day, which is the expectation. There is an expectation of us. See, in Psalms 100, the Scripture begins with the expectation God has given us. He said to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. The honest truth is, Psalms 100 and verse 1 is a call for all the earth to praise the Savior. How wonderful. How wonderful that this Scripture is a call, not just for us as a church, but for the entire world to praise the Savior. You see, we're going to see the Lord's promises in this Scripture too, but we have to look at our expectation, what He expects of us. Christ expects His creation all across the earth to worship Him. But Psalms 100 doesn't stop at calling the world to worship. It goes even farther. It continues in calling the world to recognize God as creator and God as sustainer as we are the sheep to the master. How wonderful that He has called us to such a deep and humble calling to worship Him, to live our lives for Him. See, your entire purpose in being created was to have a personal relationship with the Savior and to bring Him glory through your life. Brothers and sisters, I must share with you, many, I believe, I fear actually, think that upon arrival in heaven, they will be sitting by the wayside doing whatever they well please all the days of eternity. But that, my friends, is not the reality of heaven. The reality of heaven is an eternity of worshiping the Savior. How wonderful. The most significant item to do on the Lord's itinerary in heaven will be to bring His name glory. That's spectacular. Heaven is an eternity of lifting the name of the Lord on high. Our life in heaven will be just that. A never-ending life of bringing God glory. An ever-ending life of doing that through various avenues, through songs, through words, through whatever else it may be. But our heavenly lives will be to praise Him. Heaven is a reward for us, but it is much more than that. Heaven is God's creation redeemed to perfection. Think of that for just a moment. So when God created this world, He created Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve fell. They fell into sin. So what is heaven? Heaven is the world redeemed to perfection. How wonderful. So if we are called to a life of worship, a life of recognizing God as the one who has made all and sustained all, why do we fail so miserably here to do it? Why is worship a half-hearted attempt? Why is Christ living in us a half-hearted life? Why is our prayer life not sustaining? Why is our entire walk with the Lord so often half-hearted? I'll tell you why. It's because we live our lives with a mindset, just as I listened to Joy in the to the World in Walmart. They didn't know, they weren't paying any attention to what that song was saying. They were just playing it. And you know why? Because Christ has become just another thing. Christmas has become just another thing. But it has to mean something to us. It can't be half-hearted anymore. It has to mean something. We've been called to more, bringing me to my second point, which is a wonderful thing that God has given us, and that is the promise. Have you ever asked someone to do something? And they replied, why? My dad always told me I was awful about it. If we were doing something and he was trying to do something, I'd always say, why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? Why did you need to do that to do this? He said, I just ask questions all the time as a kid. So have you ever been in that situation where you're doing something and everyone just drives you crazy? Why are you doing that? Whatever the why may be, why? Well, see, we can praise the Lord this morning that the psalmist in Psalms 100 gave us an answer to why praise the Lord. I am thankful that even though Christ has expectations for me, he also has promises for me. Christ has given us many promises. Psalms 100 mentions only one of God's many promises, but it's a big one. Psalms 100, verse 5 says this, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Think of that verse for just a moment. A promise was given to us from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. A promise of God's most amazing mercy in our lives. Let me tell you about that mercy for a moment. It is so merciful that God loves you and I even though we are unlovable many moments of our life. It is somewhat unimaginable that there is a love that can maintain so strongly even though we so often fail to pay it back. Beyond that, the psalmist said that God's truth endures to all generations. So God didn't just promise mercy, but God promised mercy to all, for all generations. All you have to do is believe upon him. What a wonderful promise. Not just of mercy, but everlasting mercy, never-ending mercy. And that brings me to my third point. Our gift to God is praise. Now, if many of you saw on the screen when I started preaching, the title of my sermon was The Lord Desires Us. And the reason for that is, he does. He desires our praise. When we begin to think about the Father and his most amazing love, one of the most precious gifts that we can actually give back is to show his everlasting mercy through us, through our praise, through our lives, through each thing that we do. So I want to ask you today, first I want to begin with the Christmas hymns. Have the Christmas hymns and Jesus Christ in them left their intended purpose on your life this year? As you've listened to them and you've listened to the name of Jesus sung through these songs, just like this morning, or were they just the same old songs you've heard every year? Beyond that, though, has our lives as Christians left the intended purpose? Are we hitting the mark? Or are we just the same old thing? Are we not showing Christ in our lives because we've become complacent? See, we have a purpose to praise him and bring glory to his name. To sing wondrous praises unto him. So as Christmas hymns today have become second nature, perhaps so has our lives. Maybe we've become complacent. Maybe our lives look like they're just like they've always been, and Christ isn't living there. Have you considered that Christians could be associated with many things that are not the Savior? Christians have become associated with the world instead of the Savior. What a feared thought. But we have. If we are redeemed by Jesus Christ, are we not called to be a clear image of that redemption? Are we not called to be people who are undeniably the children of the Most High King? I'm afraid today that many Christians no longer and find themselves a direct reflection of the Savior. I'm afraid that many of us find ourselves living lives the way we always have, wanting to be associated with the Savior, but not wanting the Savior to live in us. In our current Sunday school class, I'm going through the youth with Titus, and I told them this morning over in Titus that Paul sent Titus to Crete, and the reason he sent him there was to bring the churches back to a place in which they lived their lives for Christ. And many of them there had became complacent. They wanted to be associated with Christ, but they didn't want Christ to truly live in them. And I'm afraid, church, that's how many of us Christians have become today. We want to be associated with the Savior, but we don't really want Him to live in us. Maybe in our minds it started by neglecting the little things, such as the Christmas hymns that became second nature. As to not praise the Savior of the world through this holiday called Christmas may have been an accident, but over time it became intentional through us not fixing it. My biggest fear, however, is that this has not stayed in the month of December, this mindset of wanting to be associated with the Savior but not have the Savior live in us has overflown into many of our lives in its entirety. If our gift to God is praise this year, then that means our gift to God is simply our life. Our gift to God is that our life would be a living sacrifice to Him, that we would bring Him glory. So I want to ask you, how are you living today? Do you find yourself associated with the world, with maybe leaving a little bit of God in there so that people know you're a Christian, but neglecting the rest? I pray you can say that you allow Jesus Christ as well within you daily, but so many of us fail in that. So many, unfortunately, allow the way they live to be affected by the world far more than by Christ. Seeking to have Christmas a certain way because of a social norm, or claiming that Jesus Christ just enough to be associated with Him but never selling out to Him. Did you know that in 2020, 70% of Americans identified as Christians? That's a lot. That's a big number. That's almost three-quarters of America. Yet, according to Pew Research, about 51% claimed they only attended church twice a year. You know what that means? That means they want to be associated with the Savior, but they don't want to sell out to the Savior. How terrifying. He has given His life for you, yet many seem to care less. Bringing me to my final point today, and that's simply 2022 and beyond. I kind of thought about Buzz Lightyear from Toy Story when I said it, but it's the truth. I pray you see this today. If God has given us a promise of mercy, and He has maintained His mercy, and He has given us not just a promise of temporary mercy, but mercy everlasting, and He has given us a chance for salvation through Him, are our entire lives, is that not a call to be devoted to Him? But what a wonderful call it is. A call that I pray you as a Christian are joyous in hearing. as we look into the new year and begin to transition out of Christmas, many of us still feel the Christmas stuff going on. Katie and I have another Christmas dinner to go to after church today. So for some of us, it's not even over yet. So many of us feel Christmas going on still, but as we try to transition out of that into the new year, we need to take the scripture to heart, friends. Not to only insert God into the aspects of our life that we desire. Now, I truly believe that God's call to all of the earth is to praise and serve Him, as the first two verses of Psalms 100 told us. But in verse 3 of Psalms 100, the psalmist wrote this. He said, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture." Now, I like to do outlines on a lot of the scriptures that I preach before I prepare them. So I don't usually share those. But this is a short chapter. And so I want to share those with you today. If I was to put an outline up of Psalms 100, it would go something like this. Verse 1 would say, it would be a call to earth to praise the Lord. Verse 2 would be a call to sing and serve the Lord. Verse 3 would be the reason why we do this, and that is God is creator and shepherd. Verse 4 would be our thankfulness for His lordship. And verse 5 would be the most substantial one for us, a promise of the Lord's mercy and His faithfulness for all. I want to consider this for just a moment. If God has been so good to us that He has promised us never-ending, consistent faithfulness and mercy as His people, it is not a simple request of His that we live our life for Him. How simple is that? So I pray when we celebrated Christmas this year, that we celebrated it in a way that we not only remembered the Savior, but we lived our lives for the Savior. But if we didn't, I want to share with you that it's not too late to begin to do that. Now, I told you at the beginning of the four types of Psalms, which once again were lament, thanksgiving, enthronement, and hymns. And the reason I chose Psalms 100 and felt the Spirit leading to Psalms 100 for this passage, or for this message, was because Psalms 100 is actually considered to be a hymn. And I have always had a special place in my heart for the old Baptist hymns. I grew up in Baptist churches, and I've heard them most of my life. And I've always had a special place in my heart for these hymns. But the reason I feel that I have grown more in love with them over time is because many of them do something that a lot of other songs fail to do, and that is to bring the name of Christ glory. Because that is the basis of our entire Christian lives. That is what Jesus has called us to. A life in which a living praise unto Him is shown through us. So I ask you, is it so much to devote our lives a living sacrifice unto Him, when He has given us the most precious gift of grace through His Son? I want to read to you Romans 12, 1 through 2. Romans 12, 1 through 2 says this. It says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies," listen to this, church, "a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Now listen to this, it gets even more intense. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So the Apostle Paul here in Romans wanted the same thing that our psalmist wanted. He wanted us to live our lives devoted to the Savior. Now notice what Paul said in verse 2. He didn't just tell his readers to be a living sacrifice, but he also told his readers not to be changed, not to be transformed by the world around them. But that's what our world has came to, isn't it? It's so easy. It's what we see every day. It's what we carry around on the little phones in our pockets and computers and everything else. On social media, wherever else, we have become accustomed to the world. And if we're not careful, church, we will look like the world. I've often struggled with the thought that in our world, Christmas has lost so much of its focus. But the scary part for me isn't Christmas. The scary part of me is what's going to happen in not just this coming year, but coming years to come, when we have continued to lose focus each year. It grows. We open gifts and we have Christmas dinner, and those things are great. But sometimes they forget what we're celebrating. And it's overflowing beyond Christmas, I'm afraid. The mentality that every day is about me. The prosperity gospel that preaches that God is going to give me all that I so want and I don't have to give anything. Church, I'm afraid today that we've become happy with where we stand, but we're growing farther away from the Lord and don't even realize it. So as we begin to bring the message to a close today, many of you may say, "Preacher, how do I even commit my life all the way to the Lord?" Well, there is a couple of different things. First, you may find yourself here today as a saved believer of Jesus Christ. But you say, maybe I've not done the greatest job of showing him in my life. Maybe I've not done the greatest job of, when people see me, they see the Savior. Maybe I've not worshipped him as I should. Maybe this life's just become something I'm living and not Christ. The truth is that we are all guilty at times of not allowing Christ to live fully in us. But you have an opportunity today to change that. As we seek here soon to go into the new year, I'm praying that we don't go into the new year as Christians with a mindset of what Christ can do for me. I pray we don't go into the new year with a mindset of anything other than showing him in our lives. But maybe you're here today and maybe you find yourself not saved. Maybe you don't even know what that means. Maybe you just heard today that Christ is someone who will give you mercy, and you know that you need mercy. The truth is that we are all sinners and we all fall short, but Christ has given us a way to him through his Son, which went to Calvary's cross and died for our sins, even though we don't deserve them. So, if you say, "I'm a sinner today and I need a Savior," just bow with me today and say, "Father, I know I'm a sinner, unworthy of your grace. Yet I know you have given me the opportunity to receive that grace. So I ask you today, forgive me of my sins, enter into me and create a new person, one who is devoted to your will. Father, thank you for this gift. Amen." But today, church, I'm afraid that many of us who are saved have faltered in the way we live our lives. And I don't want us to do that any longer. So as we look to head into the new year, and we look to see what 2022 has in store for us, I pray that we don't become negligent in the fact that Christ has given us the mercy he has given us in exchange for simply our lives to praise him. So live your lives this new year to bring him glory. And if today you feel like you don't live your life that way, there's an altar here to make sure that you can come before him today and take care of that.